Chapter 1. Fitch's Last Ditch Foster Home. Piper, meet your new foster mother, Mrs. Fitch. Piper Pizzini tried to smile. The lady wore a bathrobe and had curlers in her hair. Not a good sign, considering it was the middle of the afternoon on a gray Seattle Saturday. I'll leave you to get settled in, Piper. Miss Henning had been Piper's caseworker for the last 5 years, since her parents disappeared. She wasn't friendly, but at least she was familiar. "Thanks, Miss Henning," Piper mumbled, watching her only stability walk away toward the official Child Protection Services vehicle parked at the curb. Piper gripped her small suitcase and stepped into the dingy house, ignoring her rising sense of panic. "The girls here call this Fitch's Last Ditch Foster Home." Mrs. Fitch blocked her way, arms crossed and lips tight. "If you're here, it's because no one else will take you." Piper resisted the urge to flinch under the hateful gaze. "It's nice of you to take me in," she lied. "I'm sure we'll get along just fine." "We'll see about that." Mrs. Fitch turned on her heel and beckoned Piper to follow. Piper climbed the stairs, keeping her distance from the swaying pink bathrobe. The woman wore enough perfume to offend a skunk. The carpet under Piper's feet was threadbare, the exposed wood below chipped and dirty. "Hurry up!" As they reached the upper landing, Mrs. Fitch reached down and yanked Piper by the upper arm, pinching her as she did so. Piper winced. She'd have a bruise, but she'd had worse. "Down the hall to the left. You'll meet the rest of the girls." Piper turned into the indicated doorway, a large, bare room, each wall hosting a metal bunk bed. No bars on the window, but it felt like a prison cell. Piper shuddered. She counted 7 girls, like planets in a solar system. It felt lonely in here, each girl in her own orbit, barely aware of the others. But all 7 stopped what they were doing and stared at her. "Girls, this is Piper," Mrs. Fitch said. Piper held herself rigid as the woman stepped into the room behind her. "She'll sleep in Sally's bunk." The sad excuse for a foster mother wheeled back out into the hallway, her voice lashing back. "I don't want to hear from any of you until I call you down for supper." "Hi," Piper said to the room in general, forcing a grin. Wrong choice. 6 pairs of eyes narrowed at her. The 7th's eyes widened, then burst into tears. Piper guessed that one was maybe 3 years old. "Now look what you've done," growled a pasty red-headed girl with freckles. Piper shrugged. "Just trying to be friendly." "Give it a rest before you do any more damage," the girl said. Her voice was as big as her body. "How many foster girls does it take to change a light bulb?" Piper quipped. Surprise and puzzlement looked back at her. At least she'd managed to throw them off their game.
"I don't know. How Betty?"
a little runny-nosed, stringy-haired blonde girl asked. "That depends," Piper said. The redhead raised an eyebrow and looked menacing. "It only takes 1 foster girl," Piper said hastily, "but it takes a whole caboodle of adults to tell her how to do it." The blonde giggled and snorted.
"That's funny," she said.
She wiped her nose on the back of her sleeve.
"I'm stinky," she offered. "Nice to meet you."
"Huh," the redhead said. "Not bad." She looked at Piper grudgingly for a moment longer, and then relented.
"Okay, we're the lifers. You know, foster kids for life. Get it?"
She gave Piper a look that said if she didn't, she'd get a fist in the face.
"I get it," Piper said.
"Good," the redhead nodded. "I'm Pudge. I'm 12. Zonker is the one who looks comatose over there. Zonk for short. She's 11. Pudge gestured to a tall, dark girl lying prone on one of the bottom bunks. "Midge is the samurai brainiac. She's 9. A girl, all in black, wearing glasses, gave Pudge a dirty look from her top bunk. She glanced at Piper before leaning back over her book. Her long, shiny, black hair swung like a curtain over her face.
"You just met Stinky," Pudge indicated the blonde. "She's 7.
Next, she pointed to another top bunk. twin girls, identical from their quirky half-smiles to their dark brown bowl haircuts, poked each other and giggled. "That's Flim and Flam." The girls in question weren't watching. Obviously, what they were doing was far more interesting. "They're six," Pudge continued. "They speak Spanish most of the time, but don't let 'em fool you. They understand English just fine." Pudge pointed to the smallest girls, whose cries had turned into hiccups, her thumb firmly planted in her mouth. "Thumb is four, even though she looks and acts like she's two." The little girl's long-lashed brown eyes crinkled in a smile. Chocolate brown cheeks dimpled, surprising Piper. "Hello there." Piper smiled back, this time for real. In all the foster homes Piper had been in, there had never been other foster girls. She'd always been the family add-on who didn't measure up. Friends. Piper barely allowed the word in her mind, flattening the whisper of hope before it could take root. Heck, the only friends she'd made in 5 years were the employees at the Nickelodeon, where she unofficially did chores, so they'd let her sit and watch movies for hours. Who did she think she was, dreaming that it might be possible to have real friends? In a place like this, everyone was probably too busy fighting over a full serving of dinner to care about each other. "Which one was Sally's bunk?" Piper asked. The smile slid off the big redhead's face, and the whole room got quiet. Pudge's thumb jerked toward the bunk under the twins. At least it was the wall with the window. Piper pushed her suitcase under the bed. She saw a rope ladder piled in a heap on the floor, attached to the metal frame at one end. "Fire escape ladder?" she asked, standing back up. "Uh-huh," Pudge said. "Fitch was supposed to have a fire escape installed. Cheap old bag." She laughed, a booming noise that startled Piper. "It works good for sneaking out, though, if you're willing to pay the price." "Bad?" "Bad enough," the brainiac girl said, without looking up from her book. "Really not worth sneaking out." "We'll see about that," Piper thought. She planned on slipping out a little later tonight. The access couldn't be better. She would pretend to feel sick when everyone else went down to dinner. Out the window she'd go, easy as pie. Piper shrugged off her army surplus backpack before sitting on the bed. She bounced up and down on the bunk experimentally and decided to take another risk. "So what happened to Sally? Did she die or what?" Nobody answered, each girl suddenly consumed with what she was doing. Piper stopped bouncing and stared around the room from one averted face to the next. Finally, the one she thought had been asleep turned her head toward Piper. She looked like a tribal queen, Piper thought. High cheekbones, face framed by two long braids. Zonk's voice was low and smooth, in contrast with the bitter look on her face. "She was adopted." Nothing more had to be said. If Piper had nothing else in common with this multicolored group of ragtag girls, she shared the jagged pain of being unwanted. For the moment, they were united. But Piper knew it wouldn't last long. Once they learned what she was determined to do, they would think she was crazy, a loser, an idiot, and so on. It had happened to her in every foster home so far. How many now? 10? 11? It had been 5 years since her parents' disappearance. 5 years, each of them worse than the last. The other girls might be able to respect Piper's sworn oath to someday, somehow, go where her parents had gone and to rescue them. But the whole truth was just too hard to believe. So she mostly kept the details to herself. The fact was, her parents had been captured by a pirate captain and flown off in a ship carried through the sky by a dragon. Crazy as it was, Piper knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they'd been taken to the Neverland. "What'd you say your name was?" Budge's loud voice interrupted Piper's reverie. Her heart sank at the scorn on Pudge's face. "Here we go," she thought. She answered as easily as she could. "Piper. Piper Pizzini. You can call me Pip." She'd never given anyone the option of calling her Pip before. That was what her parents had called her.
Piper. Pudge's lip curled. Yeah, I've heard about you. You're the one who keeps getting caught trying to do a Peter Pan from high places.
Piper looked back at Pudge and willed her face to stay blank.
How dumb can you get? Pudge went on. If you want to off yourself, there are lots of easier ways. My mom used pills. Zonk's mother just drank herself to death.
Shut up. Zonk didn't move, didn't open her eyes, but her voice cut the air like glass shards. Piper noted with satisfaction that it wiped the grin right off of Pudge's face. Unfortunately, it also layered meanness onto the scorn.
Just saying, Pudge said to Zonk before turning on Piper. Nah, I don't think we'll bother calling you Pip, she leered. We'll just call you Pipsqueak.
Piper scanned the other faces in the room. Except for Zonk's, they mirrored Pudge's. They liked having someone new at the bottom of the heap. She shrugged. Fine, she said. Whatever. She lay back on the bed, ignoring the jeering laughter. Forget what she'd hoped about these girls becoming friends. She didn't need them. She didn't need anyone. She'd find her own way to the Neverland, on her own. In her mind, she flew through clouds, letting the soft moisture cool her burning cheeks.